Hi, everybody. Welcome. I am really glad to be back with you. As you know, and if you we skipped August, we took the month off, and so we're here in full swing today, and we're actually going to be having two events this month, just so you know. We have today, which I'm really looking forward to, with Jeremy Johnson, who I'll tell you about, and it's just full of good solutions for how to mitigate the ill effects of electronic pollution. And then another event on September 26th about unpacking current events, really getting into, you know, what's going on once again with the economy and with China and Russia devaluing their currency, and what about world trade and interest rates and stock markets and all the rest. So that's September 26th. All of you here today, I hope you'll join us then. And I just need to remind you that this is being recorded, and I make a highlights of this event for the larger network. And so it could be that whatever's recorded here can be on that. So you're officially notified of that here. And also, at the end of the call, you'll get an evaluation, which I hope you'll fill out for us, because it really does help us to get better and respond. And then the other thing is, as you know, this is a live interactive time with you. So the way that it can work best is if you use the chat window to share resources and comments with each other, and then use the Q&A for questions and comments to us and to Jeremy. And then if you have any kind of tech issue, if you would email Mitch, and the address there is events@thrivemovement.com, he can help you resolve any of those. And the other thing is, if you would tell him if the issue gets resolved, that's helpful too, so we know what works. And let's see, we're going to have some polls. Foster will tell you about that. And when you participate, GOA will be involved in helping set that up. And the best thing to do is you exit full screen mode, you look for your name in the participants panel, and then you click on the little green camera icon next to your name. GOA will unmute you, be sure the camera's up and running, and then we'll be able to see you and engage with you. So, as I said, we will have some polls, and unfortunately, the polls don't register your votes if you're on a mobile device. WebEx is working on that, but it's not happening yet. But I encourage you to answer them in your head, because they're thoughtful questions that can help. I want to tell you a minute about Jeremy. Jeremy Johnson, one of my favorite all-time people on the planet, who has really put the time in to personally to become an expert in this field. He got his master's in civil engineering, worked managing a Silicon Valley firm for 15 years, and was cruising along using all the Wi-Fi that people do, when in 2011 he came back from a vacation and a smart meter had been installed in the apartment where he and his fabulous wife, Katerina, were living, and started having all of these health effects ringing in his ears and headaches. And it was through that and a long chain of events that he discovered that he had electronic toxic overload. You know, let's see, there's it's electro-hypersensitive. Hypersensitivity is what it's called. Apparently, 3 to 10% of people in the population have it. And as more and more Wi-Fi is around, more and more people are experiencing it. Anyway, he has since then spent thousands of hours researching what it is and how best to mitigate the effects of it, because clearly our whole culture and world are built on ever-increasing wireless networks. And so how to figure out how to maneuver that as safely as possible is a real value, and he's here to share that with us today. So So we're very grateful. And, you know, as I said, he spent a long, long time researching it, and he's come up with products also, which can be helpful and other sources of information. And all of that we'll link to in the chat window as he goes. So welcome to Jeremy, welcome to all of you, and Foster, I'll hand it off to you for a second for the polls.
Okay, thanks Kimberly, and welcome Jeremy, and welcome everybody back. We've missed you during this month that we've been traveling, and we're glad to be back in active conversation with you. And we're really excited to have Jeremy on today. He's a skilled researcher, he's a committed activist, and he's a dear friend. You know, I don't need to tell most of you that daily life has become really a gauntlet of toxins these days, you know, from the pesticides to the GMOs to the chemtrails to the electronic pollution and on and on. And having allies like Jeremy has really helped us to navigate these challenges more successfully. And we want to use our network to spread this kind of knowledge far and wide. So Jeremy has been to our home and helped us clean up our own EMF environment. And I'm delighted that you've tuned in to benefit from his really hard-won personal expertise. So I want to take just a minute or two before bringing him on. We'd like to use the polling capacity that this WebEx technology has to start with a brief set of polls that I think will help prepare us for Jeremy's presentation, for the think tank, and to have a way to check in a little bit on your relationship to EMF pollution. So Goal will bring up the polling process on your screen. And the first question that we'd like you to answer is, have you personally experienced any negative health effects from wireless technology? And you can check whichever of these answers pertains to what's true for you. A is headache. Have you experienced a headache? B, have you experienced your body heating up or aching near a mobile phone if you're carrying in your pocket? Some women have been, unfortunately, sticking them in their bras temporarily as they're walking around to great detriment. Have you been experiencing sickness? Have you had extra difficulty concentrating? And this is extra difficulty, not just the normal difficulty concentrating that we're all challenged with these days. E is tumors. Have you experienced any type of tumor growth near the site where you've been exposed to EMF radiation? F is other. If there's anything in that list which we haven't listed but you've experienced, click F. And finally, G would be no noticeable effects. If you haven't seen or heard or felt anything unusual that seems to be related to your wireless technologies, then just click G. So please go ahead and check those items. And when you're done, click submit at the bottom right-hand side, and then we'll be able to feedback the results to you.
Okay, so just a couple more seconds for the poll. Another 10 seconds. Okay.
Okay, so the results should be on your screen. And if you want to see the question again more clearly, just click on the bar between the little tab that says questions and results and move that to the right to be able to see that more clearly. So 11% headaches, 9% body heating up. You can see the other results there. Another 16% other. And we hope that you will note those down and share them with us during the interactive portion after Jeremy's presentation. 22% is no answer. That's probably mobile devices. And 31% no noticeable effects. Okay, good. Let's go on to the second one. And the second question we'd like you to consider is, what is the recommended minimum distance that a mobile phone should be kept away from the user's head or body? So what do you think that recommended distance in the little instruction manuals with your technologies. What are the companies saying that recommended distance should be? Is it more than 3 feet? At least a foot? At least 3 inches? Half an inch to an inch? Or you don't think there is any recommended minimum distance? So please pick one of those and submit.
One of the great things about this presentation is Jeremy's so informed about and focused on solutions that we really can have some simple fixes here as we get educated.
Go, I noticed that for me, the poll clicked off when I was just about to start filling it out. Okay, does it look? All right, looks like we've had a good response then. Okay, so 31% thought half an inch to an inch, which is an accurate answer. Many people think, oh, if I'm going to pay any attention to the pollution, then I'm going to have to, to keep it on the other side of the room or hold it at arm's length and so forth. And it's not actually that severe. But still, if you're holding it up to your ear, you can be risking a very serious problem. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This question is, does the World Health Organization consider non-ionizing microwave radiation, in other words, wireless technology, to be non-carcinogenic, possibly carcinogenic, probably, or definitely carcinogenic? So click on which one you think that is and submit once again.
Okay, it looks like we've got another couple of people waiting there.
Sorry for you mobile phone users that we can't see your responses yet, but we can participate with you in the interactive part and look forward to that.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got 41% think possibly carcinogenic, and another 20 probably. Now, of course, the World Health Organization, for our followers of Thrive, you know it's not the organization we respect most in terms of guarding your health. But still, if they come out and say something that is at all questioning the health of the devices, we need to pay special attention. I don't know the answer to this one, so I'm counting on Jeremy to tell us during his upcoming presentation. Okay, last question. Would you be willing to make some small changes in how you use technology in order to greatly reduce your EMF exposures? And this is either yes, maybe, or no.
Okay, another few more seconds to close this one out.
Okay, so one is a maybe, 1%. Everyone else who was able to answer it said yes, and that's one of the things, frankly, that I really love about this network, is they're not only open-minded to new information, but if it makes sense to you, our network seems very willing to take action. Okay, so we'll close the polls now, and with great excitement, and I feel very privileged to turn you over to Jeremy Johnson.
All right. Can you see me here?
Not yet.
Not yet. Let's see. Turn off the polling.
So, Goa, can you help Jeremy on how to get his camera going there?
Let's see. I just need to come back to that main screen.
Sometimes way up at the very top.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
Yay.
We're here. All right. Well, thanks for having me today. Goa, I just need to get to this place where I can bring up the PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, are you in full screen mode?
Yes.
Okay, so, oh, there we go. Let me give you the rights. All right, now your share button should be active, and you can share the PowerPoint application.
Okay, it's not here yet.
So if you go to the drop-down menu at the very top, the toolbar at the very top, there should be an option for you to share an application.
Yeah, that toolbar isn't here.
Okay. How about try and exit full screen mode? Sorry about the technical difficulties, everybody. And while you're out of full screen mode, on the left-hand side, there should be a big button in the center that says share an application.
Okay, it's not seeing that.
It might be that you need to click in the tab that says Quick Start instead of Event Info in the upper left.
Oh, thanks, Foster.
Quick Start.
It's a gray tab.
At the top left of that WebEx window. And as an alternate, I can pull up the presentation and share my screen if you like.
Let's see here.
Do you see that Quick Start button yet?
No.
You know where the red, orange, and green little things are up in the top left, like for stop, close the thing?
Yeah, for me, there's the participants, chat, Q&A, and polling.
Okay, and is that on the top right or the top left?
It's just above the video. So Quick Start. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Hey, it's working now.
All right.
Okay, I'll go here. All right. So we're ready to go. So again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and share with you my favorite topic. This is something I've been deeply involved with now for 4 years, and I've learned a lot, and I want to share with you some of the best of what I learned. And I have about a 30-minute presentation. And the first part of the presentation, I'm going to share with you a lot of the science and kind of the why we want to care about electromagnetic fields. And then we'll move into solutions and what is possibly coming down the pike in the future. And then, of course, probably the best part of this is going to be the Q&A. So that's normally where the best stuff comes. So I want to start with a story, and do this, and an analogy. So maybe you've heard of Dr. Semmelweis. He was a Hungarian physician who worked in Vienna in the 1840s, and he noticed something. He noticed that when doctors did an autopsy and then walked across the hall and delivered a baby, the mothers and the babies had a much higher chance of dying than in the lower class hospitals where there was just midwives And what he thought was is that there must be something that's happening in that process. So he asked the physicians to wash their hands. And they did this, and the percentage of deaths went down from 18% to 2%. So obviously something was working there. But the physicians in Austria and Vienna at the time, that was kind of the elite of the time. They were the top scientists, and they thought, well, how could we be the cause of this? And then they also said, can you prove this? Can you prove to us scientifically why this is happening? And Dr. Semmelweis couldn't. And because of that, he was ostracized, and he had to go live in Budapest, where he actually died some years later. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because he obviously knew something was happening, but the elites and the scientific masters of that time said this couldn't be happening. But of course, Louis Pasteur, he figured out a couple decades later that there were actually germs that were being transmitted by these doctors. So I think we're at a similar time in history to what Dr. Semmelweis experienced. And that's that we're learning that all of life is electromagnetic. At the very basis of our being, our mitochondria, which generates our energy, gets its energy from electrons, from the food we eat, from the water that we drink, and from our environment. So if we are in an artificial environment that's filled with electromagnetic fields, then our energy and our health can't be as good as it would be otherwise. And this is a new understanding for us. This is getting to the very root of what it is to be human and our place in this universe. Now, when it comes to the brain, this is especially important. The brain in the medical literature for the last 50 years has essentially been this glob of gray matter. And that's actually how the standards for all of our microwave radiation, the electromagnetic fields, that's how it treats our brain. So they say that the only way we can harm the brain is if we heat it up a certain amount. Well, that, I think, is completely false. I imagine most people here think that as well. And, you know, I think our understanding of the brain is going to change dramatically in the next decade. And it's possible that our brain is one of the most sensitive receivers and senders of information, which could be electromagnetic information, that we know of. So we could be coming into another Semmelweis moment, and that's why I think this is a very important topic. And the idea of putting cell phones next to our brain or surrounding ourselves with Wi-Fi isn't a good idea. So this is where I want to start the presentation, and now I'll move into some of the science. So what are electromagnetic fields? Well, it's essentially frequency. Everything has an electromagnetic frequency to it. If you look to the left of this chart, you'll see that it begins at 60 hertz, which is electricity. Well, if you go even farther left, you will get to the Earth's natural frequency, which is 7.83 hertz. That's the Schumann resonance. Our brain has its own frequency, depending on whether we're sleeping or meditating or doing an activity such as this. And that goes from 3 hertz all the way up to 50 hertz. So each of our organs has a certain frequency. Now, as we move up the electromagnetic spectrum, we get into all of the man-made electromagnetic fields, radio waves, cell phones, Wi-Fi, microwaves. Now, the interesting part about this part of the spectrum is that there was very little microwave energy in the environment that we've grown up in, well, that we've evolved in over the last tens and hundreds of millions of years. So when people say that we're constantly surrounded by microwave energy in the past, that's just not true. We actually, if you look at the numbers, we have one with 18 zeros, so that would be a quintillion times more microwave energy in our atmosphere than we did 100 or 200 years ago. So that's a huge change. Now, if you look, if you go to the right on this chart, you'll get into what the sun produces, infrared, visible light, ultraviolet. Those are electromagnetic fields. Those are frequencies that we actually need. But if we get too much, it can be dangerous. And it's the same thing with ionizing radiation. That's stuff that we don't actually get to experience that much from nature. And this is why. The atmosphere blocks most of the cosmic radiation. It blocks most of the infrared. It actually lets in very few types of electromagnetic fields from space or from the sun. So again, I hear a lot that we're constantly surrounded by fields. So why should we worry about Wi-Fi? Why should we worry about cell phones? Well, it's just not a proper analogy. And the other thing is that with cell phones and with Wi-Fi, the reason that it has all this amazing data, which we can get to our cell phone, is because it's modulated. So it's not a natural frequency. It's a frequency which is a carrier wave with other frequencies on top of it. And that, I think, is what's causing the damage. So what exactly does the science show us? Well, here are the effects that have been documented throughout tens of thousands of studies. You'll see it pretty much covers everything. You know, you have neurological issues, immune system, infertility, sleep disorders, and all of these acute symptoms, which a lot of people with electrohypersensitivity experience. And a lot of people actually experience these. They just don't know that EMFs could be causing this. So you might be saying, why is it affecting everything? Well, if you look at ionizing radiation, it does the same thing. When the bombs were dropped in Japan, people who lived had effects along their whole system. So it does affect our entire system. It's just that some people have some things which come up first. And of course, with all things, some people just aren't affected. So we understand these health effects from studies which actually come from our own government, from the military. This is a collection of 2,300 studies from 1972, which showed those health effects. This is a declassified Defense Intelligence Agency report from 1976, which stated all of those same health effects. And what they did is they got all these studies from places like Russia, China, to see what they were learning. Now, this is a statement which came in that DIA report. And this is, I think, what actually happened. In the 60s and 70s, they probably knew that this stuff was not healthy, but for military reasons, for industrial reasons, our government kept the safety standard very high, because they figured that if they didn't, that Russia and China and other countries would do it anyway. So what I don't think the people in the 60s and 70s realized is that 40 years later, we would have industrial strength Wi-Fi routers in classrooms, or that we'd be sticking cell phones next to our heads. That was something I just don't think they could see at that time. So it's not that we just have old studies. This is a study that was sent to me just last month from Iran. And it shows that Wi-Fi is something which hasn't been studied that much because it's so new. It shows that it affects sperm. This is another study from last month. It was from scientists both in Iran and Turkey. And it shows that it affects the microRNA in brain tissue. And again, our science is continually getting so it can actually study this stuff. So with the microRNA, if you have certain expressions which are changed, it can lead to neurodegenerative issues, or it can lead to things like tumors. And what they found is, in these rats that were exposed to the simple Wi-Fi that we're all exposed to, is that these markers went down by 3 times, which means that it definitely had an effect. Now, of course, a study like this needs to be repeated, and will it ever make it into the official literature? We'll have to see. Most of you probably know, with every industry, whether it's tobacco or GMOs, you're going to have the industry studies and you're going to have the independent studies. Well, this is a slide from Take Back Your Power, and it shows that you know, the independent studies, most of them show that there is some type of harm. Industry studies show that there's not. Now, this is one of the most important slides I'm going to show you today. This was made by a colleague of mine, Ronald Powell. He's a PhD in physics from Harvard. And what he did is he took all of these studies. There's 67 studies that are the red dots. And I'll use my mouse here to point to some of these. But you have everything from cancer to sleep disorders to neurodegenerative effects to reproductive issues. And these are all published studies. Okay, but this line up here at the top, this blue line, this is what the FCC standards essentially are. And this is what's been in place for 20, 30 years. It hasn't been reviewed in 20 years. So I have a meter here which measures microwave radiation. So what the FCC says is that on this meter, 10 million is what is safe. And that's what it would take for approximately 6 minutes to heat up my skin and to heat up the cells in my body. Well, this line down here in the yellow, this is what biologists and scientists are saying. This is from the Bioinitiative Report, which is 29 medical doctors and biologists. They say that on this, about 5 is what I want to be. If I'm constantly exposed, 5 is about the most that especially pregnant women, children should be exposed to. So that means the FCC standards are about 2 million times higher than what a lot of the biologists are saying. So in this room that I'm in, this is actually about 0. So that's where I do the best, because if I'm in a high radiation environment, after a while I can feel it. So this is another study which is important because it shows that there is DNA damage. This was a study called Reflex. It was based here in Vienna, and what it showed was that if you look at these are three different cells. The one on the left was no irradiation. The one in the middle is if you have 1600 chest X-rays, and then on the right is just 24 hours of mobile phone exposure. So the comet tails going out to the side, that shows DNA damage. So it showed that we have DNA damage, but we didn't have a mechanism. What would be the mechanism as to how non-ionizing radiation could actually cause DNA damage? Well, a couple years ago, Dr. Martin Paul, he did a meta study, which actually looked at all of these different studies that showed that if you have electromagnetic fields that affect a cell, the cell wall can actually have a change in polarization, which will allow excess calcium into the cell. And then that sets off a chain reaction, which creates free radicals. And those free radicals are what can create the DNA damage and oxidation stress and a whole host of things. So it's not that EMFs, non-ionizing EMFs, can directly cause it. It's that it indirectly causes it by changing the polarization. Now, there's one thing I want to point out here is that calcium is usually bad in the cells, but if you can get a book today, get The Magnesium Miracle. This is a book which I've actually read recently, and it's a great way to help ameliorate this process, because magnesium will help keep some of the calcium from going in. And so again, that's a great book, Magnesium Miracle. So where's all this leading us? Foster asked what the World Health Organization has actually labeled cell phone radiation and Wi-Fi. It's this group 2B, which means it's possibly carcinogenic. In 2011, the World Health Organization actually made that determination. They brought together 31 of the top cancer researchers in the world, and that's the conclusion they came to, which actually was a shock to the industry, because before that it was a group 3, meaning that it was not carcinogenic at all. Now, there's actually researchers in this group that have been working on this for literally decades, and they say that now there's definitely evidence that microwave radiation is probably carcinogenic, and there's most likely evidence that it is definitely carcinogenic. So this means that most likely in the future, it could be 5 years, it could be 20 years, we're going to have a moment like with tobacco or with asbestos, where they're going to come out and say, you know, this is carcinogenic. It's obviously going to be a huge political and economic fight because, you know, there's powerful interests that don't want that to happen. So I don't know how long it's actually going to take. But there's things are moving forward. In 2012, Italy, the Italian Supreme Court actually ruled that mobile phones can cause cancer. If you look at the insurance industry, they're not covering microwave radiation anymore. That study I showed you from Austria with the DNA damage, when they saw that, the big Swiss and Austrian reinsurance companies, they started to do their own research, and now they say they don't want to cover this topic. So the cell phone companies and the telecommunications companies are on their own if there's liabilities in the future. So that was the bad news. Now I want to move into what we can actually do about all this. There's a way that I like to look at this topic as far as having solutions. You know, a lot of people think that you can, you know, you put on a Q-link or you put a sacred geometry sticker on your cell phone and then you're fine. But I don't agree with that. And it's just from personal experience. And I've had so many people contact me. I mean, I've literally talked to over 1,000 people about this, and most people have the exact same experience. So the main thing that we need to do is reduce and eliminate the sources. That's the main thing to do. After that, if you can't reduce or eliminate a source, say there's a cell tower that's nearby, then you want to shield it. Do whatever you can to shield that from coming in your home. After that, do all the methods you can to increase your health. Detoxification is key because whether it's chemicals or GMOs or fluoride or EMFs, it's inhibiting our body's ability to detox because it's literally filling us with toxins, with free radicals, and it's becomes harder for us to detox. Diet, exercise, different energy modalities that can help us. Then use anything from a Q-Link to Organite to Scalar Technologies, anything that makes you feel better. There is a placebo effect. I noticed that with a lot of this. There's also a nocebo effect. That's definitely the case in some of this, but it's not everything. And so use those types of things as you see fit. I'm definitely not saying they don't help, but do the other things first. And then move on to your community and then global solutions. And we can talk more about that later. So here's some basic things. An AirTube headset is a great thing to have for your cell phone. Speakerphone is another great thing to do. And then keep it on airplane mode. When you know you don't need to be on a call, if you can keep the either fully on airplane mode or just turn the data functions off, then your phone won't be pinging the network every 5 seconds, which is approximately what it does. This is what you don't want to do. This is a woman in Bali. She let me take her picture with this because this is what the Indonesians do. And I noticed this around the world. People are putting these powerful cell phones right next to their head. And I think it's if people knew that you even the manufacturers say keep it about an inch away, and that's just to make sure they're under those limits. Remember that blue bar where it was 10 million? Well, that's what you need to do. You need to keep it an inch away just to reach that. So this is definitely something to not put a cell phone to the head. When it comes to kids, this is probably the most important thing because kids are affected the most. Their skulls are thinner, their brains are developing much more quickly, and they absorb a lot more radiation. The bone marrow of a child absorbs 10 times more radiation than an adult. So any children, any grandchildren in your life, take whatever you can from this presentation and what you learn on your own, and share it with kids. If you have kids or grandkids, you're going to see them doing this. Get them to keep this technology off of their body. That's the most important thing. When it comes to Wi-Fi, you want to, at the very minimum, turn it off at night. Get a Christmas light timer so you don't have to think about it. You can program it just so it's off at night. I think the best thing to do is move to wired solutions. Ethernet is the best thing. It's safe, it's secure, it's fast, and I think that's the future, is a wired future. If you do need Wi-Fi, here's a thing called a router guard. It's on that solutions page that Goa shared with you. But this is something you can stick your router in there, and it'll block about 90% of the radiation from coming out. It'll reduce the power and the distance, but it's a good solution. It's actually very popular too. These are actually back ordered almost till November. So you can see people are starting to wake up to this. When it comes to baby monitors, one of the worst things I ever see when I go into homes is that they'll have a powerful baby monitor just a few feet from a sleeping child. And these are very powerful. So on my website, I have a wired version, which you can actually use Ethernet cables, or you can run the data through your power lines in your home down to your router, which then you can send to your phone or your computer. The PLC, power line communications technology, it's not completely safe, but it's safer than a true wireless baby monitor. If you have a decked phone that transmits 24/7, I recommend that you just switch to a simple corded phone. Now, not all wireless phones transmit 24/7, so you want to check it with a basic EMF meter. Now, here's the way that I actually use a computer. I have an external keyboard and mouse. I have my computer grounded. I even put a Defender pad over the top of it so that my exposure is much less. I try to have my computer unplugged. I have it on battery power. And then I, of course, use Ethernet. But I have articles on my website about how to use computers in a way which reduces the EMFs. Now, when it comes to Wi-Fi in schools, this just started the last 2, 3, 4 years. I hope in the next 2, 3, 4 years it goes away, because this is probably the worst thing as a society that we're doing right now, because we're literally putting industrial strength Wi-Fi routers in, you know, classrooms where kids are 10 years old and they're on iPads. So it's unnecessary. There's tablet computers which use Ethernet. So we can wire our classrooms, we can have them using laptops, we can have the most amazing technology in the world, and we can have it all wired. And I think that's where we need to go. And when people realize what's going on, I think there's going to be a mass movement to do this. Now, when it comes to smart meters, this is obviously a big topic, and it's how I got into this topic. You want to, if you can, stick with the analog meter. And Kimberly, I just want to say we had 4 of these smart meters right below our bedroom, and that's what created this electrosensitivity condition, which it just happened within a week of being around these. And I'm noticing that with many people, the smart meters, for some reason, and I think it's because of the nature of the pulsing, it's just something that human biology has never experienced before. So it's very toxic. And I know so many people have been harmed by this technology. If you can't opt out of a smart meter, then the best thing to do is get a smart meter guard. I know there's some utilities. My parents, they live in a place where the utility, you know, they would be the only people who complained about smart meters. So the utility, of course, is not going to swap out their smart meter. So I got them one of these, and I put some tinfoil on the wall, and I think that this is going to help reduce that. It doesn't change the fact that they're getting the data and, you know, the security and privacy issues, but at least from a health standpoint, it does some work. Earthing, that's a big topic. nature, going out into your lawn and your garden, going into nature is the best way to earth. It's the best way to ground. But as far as using these products in your house, I actually usually don't recommend it. So many things have to be perfect in your house. You have to have low electric fields, low dirty electricity, even low microwave radiation in order for this to be completely safe. Very few homes have that. So one of the most read articles on my website is grounding good for you? You can go to my homepage and read that article, and that'll help you with this topic. Blue light glasses, that's a great thing. Because we have so many fluorescent lights, LED lighting, even computers, they all emit blue light. Well, blue light inhibits melatonin production. Melatonin is the best antioxidant our body produces. So a lot of nights I'll wear these glasses after, say, 7 p.m. Whenever the sun starts to go down, then you can naturally start to get your brain to produce melatonin. And watch, when your head hits the pillow, you'll fall asleep very quickly. Another thing that helps with sleep is to turn off the circuit breakers. I always do that to the bedroom. In some houses, I'll even do it for the whole house. It's like you're in nature. And, you know, people are sensitive to EMFs. This is one of the most important things that can be done. Another important thing is if you're looking for a new house or you're looking to move, or maybe you just are wondering if you have a cell tower near you. It's good to not live next to one. They're getting more powerful. And what they do now is they love to put them in churches, because the churches love the $30,000 to $40,000 a year that they get for the rental fees. Schools are the same thing. You don't want to move next to a church or a school anymore because of this. A place like San Francisco, this bottom picture, this little thimble right here is a cell tower. And they're putting these up all over now because it's called the distributed antenna system. And they want to make it so that rather than having big antennas, they have one of these every couple blocks. So you don't want to have one of these right outside your bedroom window. If you do have a cell tower, a bed canopy is a good thing to have. It blocks about 90 to 95% of the microwave radiation. We have one of these and use it when we need to. One of the most important things is to actually have your home measured. If your home has both low magnetic fields, electric fields, dirty electricity, and microwave radiation, then your health is going to be really good as far as electromagnetic fields are concerned. So if you have a good place to sleep, most likely you're never going to have to worry about this topic. So make sure your home is safe, make sure your bedroom is safe, and that's probably the most important thing you can do on a personal level. So just a few more slides. I want to show what is most likely coming in the future, and in ways that we can interact with it. I'm under no illusion that there isn't a significant portion of the population that is enamored with this technology. There is going to be this part of the population, and you know, there may be people who represent this photo, and I don't think we're going to stop them, but what I do think is that they're going to become a minority, because I see this all the time. People are starting to wake up to this topic, and they're starting to realize that, wait a minute, there's something going on here, and they are just saying enough is enough. And this is something I just was sent to me just the other day. Verizon is going to be the first company to put in 5G. So they're going to start putting in 5G cell towers in 2017. That's just 2 years from now. So 5G is 50 times faster than 4G. So some people might think that's amazing. But in order for it to be 50 times faster, it means that there has to be that many more modulated frequencies on the carrier wave, which means that 5G is going to be really bad biologically. Now, I bring this up because with every new technology, whether it's smart meters or Wi-Fi in schools or 5G cell towers, it wakes up more people. And I mean, literally every day people are contacting me who are waking up to this topic. So in some ways, it's just in the DNA of this technology that the more saturated it gets, the more people are going to say, wait a minute, we want to go a different route. There needs to be different solutions. The Internet of Things is another thing, which is Silicon Valley wants to take us down this road. And it's where essentially everything we own, whether it's our coffee maker or our toothbrush or our refrigerator, is going to have an IP address in it. And there's just so much that's wrong with this. This is Big Brother. This is going to make it so that surveillance is very easy. And it's going to fill our homes with microwave radiation. So when you hear Internet of Things, just opt out of it. You can take these transmitters out of your appliances. You can buy things that don't have this technology. And the Internet of Things, I think, is where Silicon Valley will overreach. And it's simply something we don't need. It's great to have all this technology on oil pipelines or industrial things which help us maybe see if there's a disaster quicker or help us manage things. But to put this in our homes and on our bodies is not wise. This is what an Internet of Things home will look like. This is another image from Take Back Your Power. And, I just recommend that you don't go down this route. It's simply an unneeded, unnecessary technology. And I have people who contacted me who have went all in on the Internet of Things and the smart home, and they've gotten sick, the entire family. And they had to take it all out, and within a few months, most of the family got better. And so there's something to look at here, and I just recommend that people do not go down this path. This is what microwave radiation looks like. This is an artist's rendering, and this is what I don't want your home to look like. So if you can opt out of the Internet of Things, start to use wired solutions, then your home is going to be very safe. And then eventually we can make it so our society is much safer as well. I think one of the things that's going to happen in the future is that we're going to move towards quantum computing and quantum data transmission. If we can move away from microwave radiation and use quantum entanglement, maybe there's going to be issues with that technology, but we know the microwave radiation is not safe. So anything that we can do to start to move away from that, whether it's wired solutions or even quantum data transmission, I think that's going to be our future. Now, just two more slides, but I just wanted to share that I just noticed that many people are starting to say, whoa, enough is enough. And whether it's subconscious or people just can feel that they don't want to be part of this, there's retreats for people to go and put their cell phones away. And I just always recommend that people spend a lot of time in nature because that's where you can heal. That's where the body is in its natural state. And I just know that if we can spend more time in nature and use the technology in a safe way, that our society can be healthy. And this is really one of the most important things that all of us can do. So that's all I have to share with my PowerPoint.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and also this emphasis on solutions. You know, I know I was on a road trip with my daughter not too long ago. We were just tracked the whole way, of course, with our little how do we get there thing. And we called it creepily convenient, which is really what so much of this stuff is. It's so convenient and it's marketed so positively. You know, I was reading Peter Diamandis' book, Bold, and listening to a podcast with him, and he was talking about how you could, you know, if when everybody's chipped, you can have preventative healthcare monitoring, right? So you're being monitored the whole time. So anytime something starts to show up, there's going to be a way to anticipate that and remedy it before it's a problem. And it's like, gosh, who doesn't want that, you know? And who doesn't want this, you know, constant ability to move ever, you know, better connected? And so I think that's what we're balancing here is how convenient it is and how much there are so many things going this way that to interact with them kind of need to, and yet to do it intelligently so that we can mitigate the effects and, like you say, really pay attention to this with young people. I know Fisher-Price actually makes a baby toy that has a cell phone right in it. It has a place for to put the cell phone right in it so the little babies can tease on it and stuff. I mean, that's the kind of thing that when you understand that the tests on this were done on adult males with, you know, unrealistic levels they're saying are appropriate anyway, then we know that those little changes in keeping our kids away and having a barrier. I have a question, which is, you know those little computer pads that you can put on your lap that have, like, maybe it's a bamboo board and a cushion underneath it, so you're sitting on your lap and there's a computer on top. Does that create the barrier that's needed, or do you actually need to have a pad of some sort that's made to deflect the radiation?
Yeah, there's specific material that this board needs to have. There's two good companies that make these. One's called Defender Pad, and the other one is called Hera Pad. I think in one of the solutions links that GOA sent out, I linked to them. But yeah, just a normal board, that won't do it. Most of these pads are about $80 to $100, and they'll block the magnetic fields. They'll reduce the electric fields, and they'll block the radiation from going down into the lap. But if you're using Wi-Fi, it's still going to come up into the abdomen and the brain. So.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
So we invite everybody who's on to ask any questions that you have. Tell us your experience. I know. One other thing I just wanted to say that I've learned about this, sometimes when people come to town into Santa Cruz to do various presentations, we have an extra room and we'll offer to have them stay here, and we get these inside opportunities to interact with people who we wouldn't otherwise know. And one woman who came to town was named Dr. Doris Rapp, and she taught me about this notion of the bucket principle, I think. But the point of it was basically that, you know, where we get exposed to various toxins, and then at some point our bucket for our capacity to deal with them reaches its top, and the next thing that shows up pushes us over the edge. So it looks like we're allergic to that thing, but it was actually this cumulative effect of toxins. And I think that a lot of times that's what's happening. Like, for those of us who don't experience consciously an explicit effect of the radiation pollution, it's still accumulating in there, so that then the next thing you know, like what happened to you when there were four smart meters underneath, you know, how much did your 10 years in Silicon Valley before that fill your bucket so that that pushed it over? And I think that's a lot of what causes the difference in how much people react. And yeah, I just want to add, this has to do with the infertility piece. I think that a big part of the waking up and engagement can happen when people recognize that between this EMF pollution and the chemtrails, that our capacity to be fertile is what's impacted. And the number of women who can't get pregnant now is just skyrocketing. And I think when we can help demonstrate that connection, that will really help, because that's something I believe human beings are not willing to give up.
And there's really good science on the cell phones for men who put their cell phones in the pocket. There's at least 7 really good studies that show that motility goes way down.
Yeah.
So it's there.
So Sky has a question here. Sky up?
While we're waiting for Sky to come on, Jeremy, can you comment briefly on the Apple Watch? What sort of EMF fields does that have? Is there a risk with that?
You know, I haven't seen one yet, but what it's doing is it's communicating with the iPhone, which is in the pocket most likely. So it's not good, because the iPhone will then be connecting to the actual network, and then you know, you're going to have that right next to reproductive organs.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Sky, go ahead, please.
Hi. I live in an apartment building that has smart meters. How would you recommend dealing with that? I can't afford to get those boxes for like 80 meters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How close are you to the bank of smart meters?
I'm on the 8th floor, so.
Uh-huh. So.
They're in the basement.
Yeah. So if you're that far, most likely the pulses are not going to be a big issue for you. I've heard a lot of people say anywhere from approximately 100 feet is where you don't want to be sleeping, you know, next to that close to a smart meter. The people who are right next to that bank of smart meters, that's not a good thing. But if you're that far away, I'm just not certain that it's going to be a huge issue for you. You're going to have some of the dirty electricity. There's going to be some of those pulses on the wiring. But has your health decreased since the smart meters went in?
No, it hasn't, but I just moved in. And on a related note, you mentioned something about insurance companies saying that they aren't going to cover EMS damage. Was that just in Italy and those other countries, or is that here in the U.S.?
No, that's in the U.S., that's in Europe. It's not just in Italy. It's some of the biggest insurance companies now are saying that they're not going to cover these issues. So yeah, it is in the U.S. and in Europe.
Okay, because I was wondering if that might be a helpful tool, that knowledge, to use in, like, talking with the apartment manager or with nearby schools and stuff like that, you know, but you could end up being sued big time by a lot of people in the insurance. Your insurance isn't going to cover it.
Yeah. It's going to take a while until these things work their way through courts. There's 10 brain tumor lawsuits, which are from nearly 15 years ago, and those actually 2 decades ago, and those are just now getting to the point where they could have testimony from experts. So it's going to take a while, especially in America. Other countries like Italy has a better legal system for environmental issues like this. So it's going to happen sooner in other countries than here. So at first, I think the best thing to do is you know, try to make things better in your own home, and then just start to educate people. If you come in too quick with people on this topic, it ends up backfiring. So you want to gradually educate people, meet them where they're at. Maybe for some people it's the privacy issue. Maybe for some people it's their grandkids. So you wanna essentially be gentle with people.
Good idea. Thank you.
Hey, I want to say if Josh Del Sol on the call, if you want to come on and give us an update on your work with smart meters at this time too, great, because that's so connected in here. And also, Rob, I remember you had some questions I want to invite you to ask as well. But, I think this whole thing about the interface of – I'd like to talk a little bit about the money and how dependent the infrastructure is into this whole thing. You know, I listen to these high-tech guys and folks from Singularity University because – I think that with the amount of money and energy that's going into the transhumanist artificial intelligence movement, it's something that we really need to stay keeping our attention on. And so I do that. And I wonder, one, about the you know, the notion that we can somehow create a hybrid who's less impacted by the electromagnetic pollution, if that's part of the plan there. And the other is, if you can talk a little bit about the money and the infrastructure in interfaced with this whole world of high-tech Wi-Fi. Jeremy, can you speak to that?
Well, this is one of the biggest industries in the world now. It's a trillion-dollar industry, and you know, in the next 10 years, it could become one of the biggest industries, if not the biggest. So this is a huge issue, and there's so much money tied up in this, and it's a topic which is it has a military component, it has a privacy and government component, and of course it has the industry component. And when you bring all of those together, it ends up being one of these super issues, because, you know, really what I've noticed is the only people who are really interested in this are the people who have been affected. Because even like the average person loves all this technology. So I just think that all that brought together is going to, as far as economically, how we're going to shift from this, right now I'm not certain. I hope that new technologies are in the Google labs, that they're actually working on new technologies in order to help this happen. But as far as what the economic ramifications of that are, I don't know, because you have all of this infrastructure that's already been built and that is continually being built. So if we're going to move to quantum data transmission, is all of this infrastructure then going to become worthless? And of course, that's not going to be something that industry is going to want to have happen anytime soon.
Right. I think the interface is one of the main things. Goa, maybe you can get A. Stokes ready. When we look into the new energy technologies, one of the main things that we run across is the interface with the existing grid. Because there's so much money invested in this that if we want allies and people not stopping this new technology any more than is already the case, then the interface into the existing grid is a really important part of it. And there are some people focusing just on that in their inventions, is really how to do that interface. And I think that, you know, when we think about, you know, one of the solutions for our situation with the economy is to really look into alternative currencies. And I think that's true here as well. Like, what are the people and the possibilities for developing an interface with this whole gigantic multi-trillion dollar infrastructure that's being developed with, you know, major companies and people behind it, and how to do that in a way that when people understand, and especially, you know, I just think it's really significant in terms of the schools to you know, between the mandatory vaccinations and the cell phone towers and all the rest, you know, school is, and not to mention what happens to your mind and curiosity, it's just an increasingly dangerous place for children to be. And I think as parents wake up to that, that's a huge part of the mobilization movement, because people tend to be protective of their kids once they realize they're really in harm's way.
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay, is A. Stokes ready?
I don't think we can get video, but the audio is turned on for.
Okay.
Are you with us? He keeps muting himself. Okay. There you go. You're unmuted now. Hello.
Sounds like he's got some Wi-Fi interference.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be coming through right. Maybe we should just read the question.
Yeah, he just says, who can you contact to measure EMF in your home?
Yeah, it depends on where you live. There's experts all around the country. I know people all around, so send me an email and I'll connect you with the right person. And, you know, when I'm in town, sometimes I do measurements and then I help people either on Skype or on phone, and I can answer a lot of questions. We can, you know, spend an hour on the phone and I can really help you navigate this. But I know a lot of good people who you can have come to your home.
And we've put Jeremy's website several times in the chat window.
Yeah, so there's always interesting stuff there that's really important. And one of the things I appreciated in one of your recent posts had Comcast promotional video, which I watched. And I personally benefit a lot from watching how things are marketed so that I know, you know, I have this blog coming out next week actually called Magic Money, How Pump and Dump Picks Your Pocket. It's about pump and dump as an economic scheme here. But one of the things that I've noticed in everything that I look into is there's this sleight of hand, you know, where you look at what's being presented, but the key to that is to look at what's going on with the other hand while you're watching the show. And so when I look at these promotional videos, I can see what do they want me to be focused on. And that kind of will give me a clue as to where to look for what's going on in the other hand. And, you know, Comcast just shows this wired world, right? And it's beautiful and helpful, like the flowers and the trees, you know, and it's just like, wait, what? Like the flowers and the trees, you know? And so I really think, as always, this thing about thinking critically and understanding that it's not that simple. Like for me with the EMF stuff, sometimes I think about it in terms of, like, you know, in sports games, when some people are using steroids, it's really hard to compete on the team if you're not using them also, right? I mean, I always used to say they just should have steroid games and non-steroid games because it's just not a fair game if you're kind of interfacing in that way. And I feel like, you know, the convenience of this fast, easy access, there's the hotspots, you can move a million miles a minute, and then you're doing this in another way. Like, our job is both to bring up the alternative ways of communicating to be competitive with that in some ways, and at the same time to recognize the ways in which it's too much, right? And our health matters. Like, if you're sick, it doesn't matter how fast you can get online or how many people you can talk to in a second. It's your health is the bottom line, and I really think there is this whole cumulative thing. So I know Spiri has a question here about grounding, and I think it's important to get at that. So maybe you can come on up.
While you're bringing Spiri up, while we're talking about this, does it linger? I noticed that David Morgan had a question in chat of does this EMF build up over time or will it dissipate when in nature? And Kimberly, and I know you addressed that a little bit, but Jeremy, do you want to say anything else about the buildup either in your body or in your surroundings?
Well, it's not that the EMF is actually building up in the body, it's just how the body is reacting to the EMF. And so it eventually, like Kimberly is saying, it creates this toxic effect in the body. So what I notice is that if I'm in a bad environment and then I go spend a week in nature, that my body really begins to heal and it starts to come back to a state of homeostasis. So it's also the same if I do a lot of detoxing, that helps my body get better. So there's a lot of people who say that the effects are cumulative. And I think there might be an element to that, but if you are also doing everything you can, whether it's detoxing, whether it's taking breaks and spending time in nature, I think that's a way which you can really help keep your health.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, Barry, go ahead, please.
Thank you. You can hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. You know, Jeremy, you mentioned about the earthing technology. I would imagine that coupled with what you were recommending about doing a Gauss meter reading of your home to see and understand what type of fields or effects there are at play in your home. You also mentioned about something about how to ground a laptop if it's only two-pronged. So what's the problem with the earthing technology if you're, you know, how do you know whether it's okay to use that? Would be my first question.
Yeah. The main thing is that the ground, if you're plugging it in into the actual outlet and you're using your home's ground, the ground and the neutral, they're going to have frequencies on them because all of the metal wiring attracts these frequencies. So if you have dirty electricity, if you have any type of electric fields, those are going to be on the ground as well, and you're going to be connected to that. So
I understand that. So it's better to use the stake that goes into the actual ground outside the house.
Yep, provided that you don't have a lot of ground current, because you can have that, especially in urban areas, in suburban areas, where the ground is actually somewhat polluted as well. And there's some people that say it's just not good to use that product unless you know you have a really good unpolluted source of ground.
Can you measure that with the Gauss meter by any chance? Or?
Yeah, not with the Gauss meter, because Gauss meters are just measuring magnetic fields. You're to measure the ground is going to be very difficult because the ground is normally the thing which you compare things to. So if you're comparing the ground to the ground, it's going to be difficult. The main thing is how do people feel where you live? Like I can tell if the ground is polluted by being there for a day. How's the health of the people in your neighborhood? If it's a healthy area, you probably have the ground is actually healthy. Some neighborhoods have a lot of ground current. Maybe there's a substation nearby. So that's the issue with that. A Gauss meter won't measure that.
Okay. And when you do have a Gauss meter, I've had one before, but no, if you bring it close to you know, various things. Of course, it has a very high reading. What would you recommend as far as, magnetic radiation using the Gauss meter as a way of determining your proximity and what's safe?
Well, the recommendation is that your living environment doesn't have a magnetic field over about 1 or 2 milligauss. And I actually recommend, especially for sensitive people, that it's about 0.1 milligauss, especially where you sleep. Unless you have wiring errors, unless you live next to a one of those high-tension electrical lines, then you're probably not going to have big magnetic fields in your home. Most likely it's going to be, 0.5 milligauss. So just make sure you don't have a wiring error right where you sleep, because that's the most important thing.
There's someone else. I guess Shannon has a question about that also, where she sleeps. Oh, I guess we have Elizabeth next.
What would you recommend? How can one ground their laptop so it's not, if it's a two-prong laptop?
Yeah, go to Less EMF. And you can get you'll get a gator to prong clip, and then you can get like a printer cable which has a USB input into your computer, and then you'll clip the gator clip onto the other end of the printer cable, and then you plug in the three prong, and that'll ground your computer. And it's best to ground your computer rather than ground yourself.
Right.
A lot of stuff is on Jeremy's website too, and I noticed you're also very responsive, Jeremy, when people have particular questions that they can't find the answer to right there. So as you're trying this stuff, I'm volunteering you and your site, Jeremy, to help us people implement these solutions, because it was super helpful for us around here.
I've heard that you said that there was something on your website about the earthing, and I was looking on your site. I couldn't find it.
Just right on the home page.
Right.
So you just go to emfanalysis.com, and then it's maybe the fourth blog post down.
Okay, it's at the blog post. All right. Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
I think it's called Is Grounding Good for You?
Thanks so much.
Yep.
All right. I think.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next up is Elizabeth. Get her going here.
And while we're bringing up Elizabeth, Jeremy, you had a slide about a bed canopy. Is that bed canopy just a normal, like mosquito net, or was that a specially treated canopy?
It has silver and copper filaments in it.
Okay.
So they're actually pretty expensive, anywhere from $800 to $1,200,
yeah,
depending on the size. But they do work well.
All right, thanks.
While we're on that subject, I'm curious if there's any sort of a trend in clothing that blocks EMF. Are you seeing anything like that?
Yeah. There's a company called Baby Armor, and it's for pregnant women so that they can wear shirts that go over their abdomen. There's boxer companies that are starting to make boxers that'll block out the microwaves. And then people who are really electrosensitive, some of them then get like scarves and head nets, and I've even seen full body suits. Some people, they really feel like that helps them.
Mm-hmm. Also seen sort of pocket inserts you can put in a bag or your pants pocket that then you put your cell phone into that sort of redirects or blocks the radiation.
That's yep, definitely.
Elizabeth, are you with us?
Yes, thank you. And I have a couple questions. I'll try to make it quick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Yes.
Okay, my ex-husband, by the way, had a tumor, held his cell phone right next to his head, and thank goodness he's still alive. But anyhow, a couple things. I was told that river rocks in your bed helps ground your bed and helps you allow you to sleep, and these big round river rocks. And then I also wanted to find out what the impact potentially to birds and other animals, insects, what kind of effect might be going on. As well, I wanted to find out about David the Avocado Wolf and his lead blankets that he recommends to put over you to take care of this kind of thing. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. The rocks may help, but the main thing is to make sure that all of the fields that are in your bedroom are off first. So if you can turn your circuit breakers off, if you can make sure that the electric fields are really low, and then use the rocks as well, because that they may be doing things on another level that are really good for sleep. Insects, bees, vegetation, trees, they all are affected. There's been studies, one I know in India, where they put a cordless phone next to a beehive, and then all the bees essentially disappeared. It was almost shocking. They stopped the experiment because they didn't want to harm any more bee colonies. So of course, all of these animals and insects are affected by this, and that's where people say it's just the nocebo effect that some humans can feel this stuff. Well, then why is vegetation affected? Why are bees affected? They're not fed negative information to get them to feel like that. Now the lead blanket. That would essentially be blocking some of the microwave radiation. I think that there's better ways to do that. So you don't necessarily need a lead blanket. You can have this material that the bed canopies are made out of, and that will do just as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, solutions I want to mention, these really are, it's so helpful, and I love the orientation. And the thing about magnesium and calcium, Jeremy's wife, who's a doctor, Dr. Katarina Johnson, and it's drkatarina.com, has a lot of solutions, holistic, practical solutions. She's my favorite doctor. And there's a recent article that she has on magnesium that's really helpful. So these are like just, you know, I know, Jeremy, you call yourself a solution advocate. And, you know, I just really appreciate what an advocate both you and Katarina are for people's health and empowerment. And I so appreciate the orientation of this conversation now and how many things there are that we can do that really can mitigate the effects and that also just keep us aware of what's coming and whether or not the pros are worth the cons. So we can also link into Katarina's website also, because she's a wealth of solutions and information as well on the health side of all of this.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, that's really my approach on this, is that we have to use technology. I mean, I have a website. My wife has a website. We actually love technology. I grew up, you know, as an engineer. I worked in Silicon Valley, and I want to be able to use this stuff. It's not that I'm afraid of technology. I love it. So it's just, how do we use it in a way that's safe? And there's just tremendous ways to do that. So I think that as more people learn this, then we can actually move that way as a society.
I agree. All right, we have some more people here.
Shannon, go ahead.
Hi, Jeremy. I have a circuit breaker right across on the other side of the wall from where my bed is, a circuit breaker panel for the house. And I guess I'm wondering, I heard you say earlier something about turning off circuit breakers. Is there an EMF if there's no current being used? And it's not practical like to turn the main breaker off for the house. So how should I be protecting myself? What should I do?
Yeah, especially when you sleep, I just recommend that you turn them off, because when you flick the circuit breaker, you're going to cut the voltage from coming, so you're going to have no electric fields. You get magnetic fields when there's current, and so that's when you have things plugged in, when things are actually being used. So if you can turn off the circuit breakers, you can even turn it off to the whole house. If things in your refrigerator, they'll still be fine in the morning. Maybe not some of the frozen things, but at least do this for your bedroom and maybe some of the surrounding rooms, and just see how you sleep for a week and see if you notice a difference.
So would it make sense to turn the breaker off to the bedroom if the circuit breaker panel is right on the other side of your bed?
Well, is there a way to put your bed on the other side of the room?
Well, it would be kind of an odd arrangement. okay. Well, I was wondering, you were talking about the canopy, and would it make any sense to, like, put a screen, like a metal screen, between the bed and the circuit breaker panel on the wall or anything like that?
Well, it's fairly hard to shield magnetic fields. It's pretty expensive. But the main thing is to actually measure these things, because you never know what you have until you measure it. And you could have it that the magnetic fields are essentially zero within a few feet away from that circuit breaker, and then they won't be affecting you.
And with that EMF meter.
That's a Gauss meter, So if you go to that solutions page that GOA shared with you, I have an EMF meter page, and you can look at the meters there. The simplest meter is that Cornette meter, because that has both a microwave function and a Gauss meter. And you can use that. It's just $139, and it's a great starter meter for people.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy.
Yep.
I noticed that Vicky's Starfire on the chat list also was asking about how can she buy one of these EMF measuring devices, and I think Jeremy just answered that. You know, go on the website and look in the solutions page to get recommendations and where to buy those. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. There's just a link to the best prices I've found on the internet, and you can get that. And again, the Cornette meter is probably the easiest in especially for the price. To get into really good meters, you know, it's $300-$400 for a meter, and then the professional meters are, you know, $1,500-$2,000 for a meter.
One of the things is Jeremy's tried all of these, so you know if they're on his site, it's a lot better than just, you know, looking around trying to figure it out yourself. And so I really appreciate that. I feel like you've already done all the filtering. I know at the end of one of your things, it says, may our pain be your gain. I really appreciate what you've had to go through in order to get it down so that we can go on there and see the array of the best products available.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been writing a book about how to find a healthy home. And the purpose of this is so that I want people to be able in an afternoon to sit down and start to understand this topic, both what they need to know as far as finding a good neighborhood to live, and then how to use these meters and what people need to do. So, if I can take what I've learned and make it so that the learning curve for people is really short, that's my purpose. Because it's a complicated topic, and I want to make it as accessible for everyone as possible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we have somebody up next here.
Arnold.
Arnold, great.
Hi.
If you want to click on the camera icon next to the your name in the participants list.
Okay, just one second. Right. I'm having some trouble finding myself on the list.
You should be in the panelist list. And it's
yeah, attendee list. Oh, panelee list. Okay, sorry. Where do I find that exactly?
It should be to the right of your name, the green icon with the camera.
Okay, under view all attendees, no. On the,
okay. The panelist list. List of panelists.
Okay. I'm not seeing that. I'm looking at participants, the top bar, then chat, then QA. Which one is it in?
It's in the participants panel.
Participants panel. And if I go down, I'm not on the list.
You should be at the very top where it says me, maybe, when you're talking.
Oh, okay, yes, I see it. Sorry, it's the first time I've used this platform.
No worries.
Yeah.
There it is.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you. All right. My question's twofold, and it's effectively, obviously, I work in technology, and sort of I agreed quite a lot with what you said earlier. Excuse my lighting, it's too bright and it's right behind me. There's too much use of technology for the sake of using technology. But at the same time, when we're looking at this sort of 10, 15, 20 years in the future, being in the industry, obviously what I want to see is a solution that is going to help globally. So the question is two-pronged. It's first of all, from what you know, Jeremy, what is the distribution of damage and how is it driven and how is it mostly catalyzed in terms of the symptoms that are sort of prevalent in both adults and children? between the phone mast and the endpoint devices themselves. Would you say that the damage is happening all the time, as you said, with the radiation, and then the cell masters trigger it, or is it really the fact that we're using these phones and these endpoint devices around us? And what sort of percentage, 60, 40, 30, 70, what would you say?
Well, I think that there's always a trigger for people. And like Kimberly says, you know, you hit a certain level, and then it could be that they installed a more powerful Wi-Fi at your office. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that you got the iPhone, you know, 6. And, you know, I know people who can't hold one of them because now they're starting to react to it. So I do think that there is this slow buildup, but then everyone I talk to, it's always a triggering mechanism. And I've had friends, I have two friends who actually own technology companies who have told me, you know, they told me years ago, they said, Jeremy, you must be making this stuff up, you know, because if you listen to the mainstream, it's all nocebo stuff. It's not real. Well, then 2 years later, they email me and they say, Jeremy, I'm starting to experience this too. And so everyone has their limits, and it's just if you get in a bad environment and you have something happen, that's normally then what sensitizes someone, and then it takes a lot to get it so you're not sensitive again. It is possible, but the main thing is to try and reduce the exposures.
So what you're saying effectively is that, you know, as you said earlier, the levels are continually building. It's not necessarily, you think that it's 50-50 between the device and the actual mast, or would you say that it's just a cumulative process and everyone has a different sort of threshold where they're going to be sort of tipped over, and it could be either the mast or the devices?
Yeah, it's rarely, usually it's something that's closer to people, like a, you know, like a Wi-Fi router, which someone puts in their bedroom or right above their desk at work. Very rarely is it a mast, unless it's right across the street. You know, but the, you know, the phones are the biggest thing. You know, I know people that they start to feel it when they put it there. So it's just different for everyone. And smart meters are a big thing. So it's really proximity, and it's what's going to come into your environment and be too dangerous for you.
So if you say it's because of proximity, would you say that, you know, if we had a situation where, for instance, you know, like you were saying earlier, that some of the operators are moving the masks and they're having them localized, sort of, you know, in a local area rather than one big one, would you say, I would have thought then that would have possibly helped, because I would have thought that perhaps I would have meant that the endpoint devices wouldn't have had to have so much power to sort of reach a mask far away. That's what I'm thinking. And also, the second point is obviously with that, if another point obviously which I'll think about is if we had a situation where, for instance, right now we have, you know, at least three major operators in each given territory. For instance, like here in the United Kingdom, we have the Big Four. If they all shared a common infrastructure, do you think that would sort of provide potential to sort of reduce the risks? Because, you know, would that mean sort of we would have the opportunity that there wouldn't need to be sort of the permeation of masks, you know, three or four times over? We could have, you know, one set of masks, everyone shares them, and they would naturally be closer so we could reduce the power of the devices. Would you think that would be the direction that would sort of solve things?
Yeah, that would be a great way to go. The other side of that is that then we get to the point where we don't want to download YouTube videos on our devices, on our cell phone, because that's why we've had to up the power. That's why we have so many more cell towers and why they're so much more powerful, is because starting 7 years ago, people got iPhones and they wanted to watch YouTube on their phone. So the amount of radiation had to go way up. And so if we could use phones more for utility. So we send texts, you know, I'm running late, honey, I'll be home soon, and just use it for what we really need, and then save the big data for when we come home and we're on a wired connection. I think that would be the other piece of that.
Yeah, so So basically you think that it's more about the quantity of data rather than sort of the distance from the mast that the phone has to work to transmit.
It's both, because the phone is going to transmit more power if it's farther away from the mast. But if you're trying to download a YouTube video, it's gonna be sending a lot. It's gonna be using a lot more microwave radiation and a lot more of those modulated frequencies. Mm-hmm. If you just send a text message, there's hardly anything there. It's just a 1 second burst.
That's all right. All right, thanks. That's giving me a lot to think about. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we have lots more questions, so we'll keep on going here.
Okay, it looks like Ken is up next. And Kimura.
So I'll just ask everyone, keep it succinct, and I'm loving this and learning a lot. Thank you.
So Ken, you're on, and if you can click on the camera icon next to your name in the panelist list, we can see your video. Are you with us, Ken? Well, it doesn't sound like we're getting anything audible from Ken.
Maybe we should move on to another person and then come back to Ken if we can get that worked out.
Ken, can you hear us?
And also, then
No, we're not getting anything from Ken's feed, so maybe we should just ask the question.
Okay. Actually, move
on. Robert Quinn is next. Bring up Robert.
We have Robert, Larry, Bruce. There's okay.
Robert, are you with us?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There's no audio. I mean, there's no video.
All right.
I was asking about pyramids. Lately I saw on Gaia TV a David Wilcock show that was talking about geopathic zones, and they're mostly like the water running under your bed causing illness. But it was also, you know, the Russians did extensive research about pyramids, and they was saying that it might be helpful for EMFs as well. So would you have any experience with that?
Yeah, the geopathic stress is a real thing. In Europe, most EMF consultants also know how to do the geopathic testing. And I know a man in Southern California that does this as well. So that's I think it's very important. As far as the pyramids go, I haven't had much experience with it. I know that that some people, you know, swear by some of these technologies. My experience is I've tried so many things. I've had a lot of people send me things, and I've bought a lot of different things myself just to test. And most of them haven't helped me. And so, but I might just be an exception. So, but like I said before, if you reduce exposures and then use something like this, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't do something to the energy in the room, and it doesn't do something to your own physical energy, which can help your health.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you. All right. I noticed Ken was really talking about an inexpensive meter, which you've addressed. And again, go to the solutions part of Jeremy's site, and you'll see the meters there that he's outlined really clearly. And also there will be a transcript of this whole event up, and I will be making a highlights reel from it also. So lots of ways to find out. All right.
Okay, we've got.
And if people can always email me through my website, and I'll get back to you. And any questions you have, just send them to me.
Thank you.
Al Smith, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Do you want to get your camera going?
Let me try. Yep.
All right.
Howdy.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, I clicked on all your links, well, not all of them, but most of them, and it got to that point where it was about the cell providers using their customers as Wi-Fi hotspots. Could you address that as far as what we can do about that, or how we can avoid, because that's going to be a lot of EMF in the air, you know, especially, I'm in a small town, so it's not hit here, but I'm sure in the big locations, big providers, it's going to happen.
Yeah, was that the article on Xfinity Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that was pretty concerning because it's like Big Brother is using everybody else to get more Big Brotherish. Like, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, it's and I've had so many people contact me who've started to experience symptoms from this because, you know, they're upping the power and they're using different frequencies and it's just creating a concoction of frequencies which just isn't good for us. So, you know, whatever you can do in your own home is important, like that router guard, but actually programming it or getting a router that doesn't emit Wi-Fi is the best thing to do. And then try not to live in an apartment building that has this technology because apartment buildings are going to be bad because if everyone has one of these, then the amount of microwave radiation is gonna really increase. And those are the people that normally contact me because it just is too much. If you have your own home or you live, you know, in an area that's a little less populated, then it's not going to be a big issue, hopefully.
Well, I'm in a sparse area, so there's hardly anyone around here. but the people in big cities, I'm sure, I mean, they're just going to have a time.
Yeah.
I mean, communities like San Francisco, it's becoming super polluted in this regard. And every year it gets more.
Oh, well.
The data mining is part of it, of course. I saw Take Back Your Power, which is another link we should be putting up in the chat window, but where Josh's work, you know, they've been following the money and seeing the trillions of dollars that the data that's mined represents. So, you know, it's coming every which way. So the ways that it needs to be mitigated, we need to understand what it is thereafter and where's the money in it, in order to come up with the most effective solutions. So I think these guards to ourselves, because really, even if you move into an apartment building that doesn't have it now, it doesn't mean it won't have it right after you move in and sign your lease. You know, I mean, it's what's happening. So protecting ourselves and then reading around on this, on Jeremy's website and on Josh's, the Take Back Your Power, and following up, you know, with Katarina and other health practitioners who you know, just to be aware, and the data, the privacy stuff. I mean, I personally think that's a huge part of what this is all about, is the data mining.
Kimberly?
Yeah.
In case Josh can't come on, I put a link in chat to his article, which just came out, on the surveillance aspect of the smart meters, and it's just some stunning evidence of what anybody who's really been looking into this is kind of suspected. And he says, earlier this year, the director of grants and research at the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, NARUC, said of the so-named smart meters, and this is a quote, "I think the surveillance data is going to be worth a lot more than the commodity that's being consumed to generate the data." And then Josh says, in case you're wondering, the commodity of electricity is a $2.2 trillion market. So if you think that the surveillance aspects is just an accidental byproduct of trying to give you a more efficient billing, you might think again.
Yeah, a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. All right, we have a few more questions, and I do want to remind people that we are having two events this month. So we do have the Unpacking Current Events happening on September 26th, and hope you'll join us then as well, because there's so much going on, and it's always helpful to come together and help interpret what's happening. All right, next up.
Bruce, are you there?
I know. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I think I might. Oh, great. I thought I might have a mic problem. Okay.
You want to get your camera going?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there we go. I've recently heard that there's hard scientific evidence that they're finding that there is measurable harm happening to people's bodies, to their at a cellular and organ level from EMF, even if they're not aware of symptoms, if the EMF is below the threshold where they experience it. And I'm wondering, is this having a very harmful effect on a lot of the general population that they're not aware of, that may have long-term chronic effects or possibly lead to serious failure in their bodies?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I touched on earlier in the presentation, is that there are definitely there is hard science that shows that this is affecting us. And if you look at Leonard Hardell's work up in Sweden, he's shown that after 10 years of cell phone use, the risk of brain tumors really increases. Most studies that show after 10 years, it's an increase in brain tumors. So that's the thing about especially brain cancer. It takes a long time to manifest. So it can take 10, 20, sometimes 30 years. And the thing about the brain is that you can't feel damage being done to the brain. So you know, people can put the cell phone to their head for decades, and then something like a tumor could show up. And they just, for some reason, some people can feel that really quickly. And that might actually be a healthy response to really what is a toxic thing. So that might actually be helping people realize that they don't want to put this technology next to their bodies. So, there definitely is research that shows that this can damage us. And most people do not feel it. That is the truth.
Bruce, do you want to mention while you're on, I noticed that you put another link in the chat about anecdotal evidence on the benefits of small organite devices. You want to mention that?
Right, yeah. I put up a link to a page on Organize Africa, which Cynthia, what's his name? George Ritchell, jeez. George Ritchell's website. I know you're familiar with George. He markets a device, it's very inexpensive, piece of organite, high quality organite that goes right on your cell phone. And they did an experiment where they tested, they did three batches of water, one with cell phones irradiating the water placed right by a pitcher for 40 minutes. And then also then the same cell phones next to the water for 40 minutes, but each one with one of these mini shields, they call them. And then a control with just plain water. And the water from the radiated water without the mini shields, the sprouts quickly became slimy within a couple of days and then rotted very rapidly within a few days. The control group sprouted fine, but strangely very interestingly, the ones that had been irradiated by the cell phones with the mini shields on them actually sprouted better and grew to a higher biomass in a healthy way than the control group with the water itself. So there is anecdotal evidence there that the organite actually changes the scalar energy in the field in a way that it becomes actually biopositive. I've also heard the same thing with radio mass or microwave mass that are gifted with organite, that it actually creates a life positive biofield.
Yeah, you know, I'm very open to things on this topic which we do not fully understand yet. And it's just like our bodies and our brains and biology is so complex, and we know so little that who knows what we're going to discover in the next decades. So something like that happening, it'd be, you know, the scientist in me wants to see it replicated, and I want to see it, you know, done again and see what actually is going on. But it's fascinating.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add one extra thing, and that is that I recently heard an interview with Barry Trower, a British man who is trained in microwave technology. He was trained in microwave technology in the British military, and he's very up on what's happening with EMF radiation. And he says that with the amount of microwave radiation that kids are being exposed to, both with their cell phones and primarily with these very powerful wireless networks that they have in their classrooms, is that the actuarial evidence suggests that more than half of children, by the time they reach maturity, will be infertile. I think the number that he mentioned was 54%. So I'll leave you with that. And thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Foster, you're muted. I hear you, but you're not coming through. If you had something to say, we have another person also I want to bring up. It's a perfect last question with Larry Fowler after your comment, Foster.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Bruce was saying there. When he was talking about the damage to fertility at the end, when you look at things like chemtrails and GMOs and the pesticides and EMF radiation, can it really be incompetence or ignorance or just coincidence that all of these things affect our bodies by making them sick, by damaging the brain function, and by rendering us infertile? So those of you who've seen Thrive and know the global domination agenda and the depopulation agenda, which is a part of that, it at least behooves us to ask ourselves, is there a larger agenda than just the greed, just the money, just the corporate profits here, which serve the would-be controllers for whom money is not the end agenda, especially when they're printing it themselves. So not to be a doom and gloom person, but this is part of why we want to help wake people up to connect these dots, because the agenda looks to be very serious and very threatening. And if we're aware of these things, like Jeremy's making people all over the world, then we can wake up and say no. And then when it's not either the liability or the drop in their market makes them change, then it's worth it to people to come up with technological and agricultural and so forth solutions which solve the problem in a healthy way.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you. So Larry, let's have you up here, and then.
So Larry, your speaker's live. Do you have a camera feed you'd like to share?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, a little bit about my background here is, without taking too much time, is that I'm retired, and I'm living in active community, retirement community, with about 13,000 people now, and soon to grow to about 20. It's a Sun City community, and so I've got a lot of time on my hands, and I'm being impulsed to really dive into this EMF arena. I'm currently have given several presentations, speaking out to groups on the dangers of consuming genetically modified foods. So I believe this is in the same genre, and this same group of folks would be, I think, amenable to this topic as well. So one, I need to educate myself more. This is just another iron in a fire, another passion is brewing within me. But it would be nice if there was one place I could go to tap into suggestions for books to read, DVDs to watch, websites, of course, yours, Joshua. I will certainly do that, and Katarina's, hopefully, and such like, to prep myself. But I don't want to have to know everything before I'm ready to go, because I think with what you presented here today, if I do nothing more than that, I could be effective. And so the other thing is there a PowerPoint presentation, preferably? That's how I like to present. Yours would be great. I don't know if it's available or if you feel comfortable with somebody else delivering your presentation, but, you know, something that I wouldn't have to develop myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't you send me an email and I can send you some good stuff.
Great.
Yeah, and I can share my PowerPoint with you, and it'd be great to get this out to more people. So definitely contact me.
I would
love that. Yeah, go ahead.
We should have a link in there to the EMS blog that we did from Thrive. And as I mentioned, I'm going to create a short little highlights video from this, Goa, and I will do that. So that will be another thing to be able to help spread around and have people know this wealth of information solutions that Jeremy continues to amass for us on his site. So
we just posted in the chat a link to the infographic that we did through Thrive as a blog that's really gone far and wide around the world. And a lot of that information, this is really about solutions to the major cell phone radiation problems. And a lot of that information, of course, came directly from Jeremy.
You know, one of the things about people waking up to this as they are, and I agree with you, Jeremy, that I think as things ramp up, it does wake more people up, and clearly things are ramping up and people are waking up. And I think that if the connections are made between, you know, the chemtrails and the EMF and all that we're aware of here on this call that's coming at us, the other part of that that we get to see is that it means that the solutions that are brewing are also very comprehensive, and people are getting it. Getting these connections and recognizing that the solutions in one area actually applies to solutions in another. And they all have to do, of course, with us taking back our own power and recognizing that we're here with the rights to be healthy, autonomous individuals, to not be violated, and that as we bond together, and it's one of the things, you know, our hopes with the Solutions Hub is that people would share the resources. So as one community takes on one issue and is successful, then the resources and the lawsuits and the rest that they generated are available to others to apply on the same and relevant issues. And we really do see it. And as Jeremy was mentioning, these other kinds of technologies and ways to interface with the current grid and all the rest, I believe that we can create a world where it really is, connected, and we're able to have the conveniences without the harm of these things, because the world is waking up, and everybody on this call, and Jeremy, your work, and Josh with Take Back Your Power, and Katarina, and all the millions of people around the world who are engaged in solutions are the inspiration that we take. And we thank you all for participating now and for the effort that you put into helping the world thrive.
Thank you. That's well said.
Thanks to everybody. So
yes.
Follow up, and the chat window ought to be full of resources for you to follow up with, and especially stay connected to Jeremy's site, because there's always something new.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And remember to stay tuned for Kimberly's blog this coming weekend, Magic Money, How Pump and Dump Picks Your Pocket. It's a good one.
All right. See you on the 26th for Unpacking Current Events. Thanks to everybody.
Go. Well, maybe you can open the mics so people can say goodbye to one another.
Sure. Here we go.
Maddie, thanks, Jeremy.
That's what I
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
If you were here, it's the best.
Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Pass it to your patients.
You've got a life. Here's the untold story of a 42-year-old guy from Dover, New Jersey.
Close it down now. Goodbye, everyone. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thank you all.